everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Writer's Process Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and today I have an awesome guest. I've had him on a bunch of my shows, but I don't think I've had him on this one yet. Please welcome James Balsamo. How are you doing, James?
Good. Hey, everybody. James Balsamo here, CEO of Acid Bath Productions. Let's talk about writing. You know, there's no right way to have this conversation, you know. So let's get
get all the puns out of the way already. Or actually, it'll probably be throughout the whole time, right?
Yeah, you better believe it. Because, you know, I did write two pun books.
Yes, you did.
Total Punishment and Puns Apparel. Available at Barnes & Noble. What are you waiting for? Go get your bad joke books.
Are they on Amazon as well?
They are, yeah.
Do they actually have them at the Barnes & Noble stores?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They do? Like, have you picked them up from the Barnes & Noble store?
I have. It's pretty cool, actually.
That is awesome. I want to go to the Barnes & Noble. When they open again, because I don't know if they're essential
when
right now.
When society reopens.
Right.
Until then, order them online.
Well, this episode will probably be out either in June or July, depending on, you know, how many I've already done. I don't even know how many I've done. But it's still like, I think by June or July, there's still going to be, you know, everything closed. Just about everything closed. Yeah. You know? So anyway, let's talk a little bit about, let's begin with writing, you know. How did you get into writing?
You know what, I failed math and science as a kid since I was really little, second, third grade. Science, no way. Math, no way in hell. But writing was always a strong subject for me.
Like English class?
Yeah, I loved free writing and storytelling and, you know, making up shenanigans and poetry. I loved all that stuff writing wise. So since I was a little kid, I loved to write. I didn't love to spell. I'm a terrible speller, terrible at grammar, but thank goodness the internet and Grammarly exist, because I am terrible at spelling.
Do you use Grammarly for your scripts?
I don't. I have an editor, so I have somebody go through all my stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Lucky you, because I'm really bad at that too myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a person who did that before, and I mean, there was a couple things I learned, you know, through it or whatever that I was kind of taught as far as, you know, because I it's been so long since I did English class, I forget a lot of that stuff, you know?
Right.
And English was never like just like you said, science and math and English was good for you. English was not good for me. Writing stories, I mean, I could write stories, but I can do it like in a good grammar, you know, way.
Yeah, me fail English? That's impossible.
Well, hopefully, I always passed it with a C or something. So
yeah,
I'm saying this, and I'm talking about I'm doing a writing process podcast, you know, and here I am, you know, talking about how I wasn't really good at English, but you know, whatever.
Right. How far you've come?
Yes, I guess. Well, I mean, when it comes to scripts and stuff, yeah, like a lot of people have editors and things, and I think there's also this thing of like, unless you're sending it to Hollywood, nobody really, you know, cares. And even Hollywood, maybe they don't care as much too, you know, it just depends on who's reading it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, so you were like, you wrote a lot of scripts, like before you did, what was the first one you did?
Hack Job.
Was that the first thing you ever did, period? Or did you do short films before then, or what?
Yeah, so I did about 30 short films before my first feature. And I released that recently, last year on DVD. It's called Mind Melters. And it's a compilation of 30 different short films I did.
Oh, wow. So people can get that from AcidBathProductions.com. Amazon.com. Awesome. Yeah.
Or they could get it at Walmart, Best Buy, Barnes & Noble, anywhere where major DVDs are sold, FYE. Coconuts. Nice. Does that still exist?
Wait, what?
Coconuts. Do you remember that? Before FYE existed, it was Coconuts.
I guess I don't remember that, no.
Yeah.
Never heard of that. But I have heard of FYE, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you have stuff sold at Coconuts?
No. My first hack job was in Blockbuster. And then
Blockbuster. I miss Blockbuster.
Yeah, and then a week later, Blockbuster went under. So I
do you think it might be because of your movie?
Yep, I take credit for sure. Tanking Blockbuster.
Hack job, destroying Blockbusters everywhere. Yep. I miss Blockbusters. I just miss video stores, you know? I watch all these old TV shows and movies. I was watching like Melrose Place, and there was like an episode where they're in a video store, and I'm like, I miss that. Like,
yeah,
there is one in Van Nuys called Star Video, but who knows after this whole thing what's gonna end up happening.
I know, it's crazy, man. That's crazy. Yeah. I was thinking about that today. How many beautiful stores are gonna go under? You know, I'm glad I had a comic book store about 2 months before this whole crazy shenanigans went down, and I sold it, so I'm kind of glad I got out of the market right before, because I don't know what I'd be doing. I'd just be paying rent, throwing it in a hole, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, that's the sad thing, is like, that's what that happens, is you have to keep putting in the rent for it, but, you know, and then nothing, you know? Like,
well, the beach is open today in California, so it's progress, but at the same time, the governor was like, also, you can't leave till August. So
wait, so nobody can actually go to the beaches even though they're open till August?
Yeah, well, you know, it's not that you're not, there's no martial law yet, so
yeah, they're not going to stop you, but
right,
you know, they exactly were stopping people from actually going to them, you know, or whatever.
Yeah,
but you know, yeah. I guess they can't stop you, but they're really still trying to enforce the stay at home, which
right,
you know, It's good for writers, you know, in a way, for staying at home writing, you know. But
yeah, I've been working on a few new scripts, actually. I just started a new script the other day, so hopefully by the time this airs, it'll be done.
Nice. Yeah. And then do you go right to it when you're allowed? You know, allowed to make it, you're going to go right back into it?
Right back into it.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
because I feel bad for a lot of filmmakers now. They have to put their stuff on hiatus or
I mean, I know a few filmmakers are shooting things from home, which is cool.
Some are doing it and they're not even. Some are still going out and doing it, and okay. I don't like that necessarily, right? Because you are really literally putting people even shoot like. Unless you're shooting things from home and you're having everybody shoot their own stuff from home and you're doing like a Zoom, like we're doing Zoom right now. If you're doing like a Zoom movie, you know, that's kind of an interesting, and I think we're going to see a lot of that coming. We're going to see like these Zoom movies being made.
Right.
And I think that's going to be a little bit weird, but kind of cool. But then, cause I already saw like somebody made like a Zoom short.
And oh, really?
Like, yeah. And I thought that was a horror short, too. And I was like, that's pretty neat. Very cool. But, you know, other people doing it, I mean, it's going to be kind of a weird little thing. It's like all of a sudden ITN or somebody or one of those companies are going to be putting out movies that are like made, you know, stay-at-home movies, you know, or whatever.
Right.
Made movies.
Yeah.
Which is neat. I don't know if your films could – well, actually, they could work that way. If, like, you could do something where people, like, send in a lot of their, you know, because you kind of already do that sometimes. You have people, like, I remember watching Catch of the Day 2 just recently, and what's his, Sebastian Godin did his from Canada, you know?
Yeah.
Like, did his cameo from Canada. So you have a lot of people do that, too, which is pretty neat, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I started doing that in the last 2 years because so many people ask me to be in my films and stuff like that, you know?
Right.
They send it in from all over the country now. It's kind of cool. And out of the country, like Canada. Nick Box was doing that a few years ago. He's in England. And
he was sending in his own stuff to you or whatever.
Right. So he was in Cool as Hell, the first one I did, and that was in 2013. So he's a filmmaker. So I said, you know, why don't you just film something and send it to me and I'll cut it into the movie. And I've been doing that since 2013, now that I think about it. So
That's really cool. Yeah. It's a neat little thing. Or you find people at conventions and stuff like you did with Bite School.
Yeah. I do that too. Yeah. I do a thing where you could win a chance to be in the new movie, like a raffle at every show I do. So
yeah, that's really neat. I love it. It's kind of a cool, like, little thing where, you know, if, especially getting cameos from celebrities at these things, you know.
Right.
I remember you got some pretty cool celebrities, you know, throughout all the time. Is there anybody that you haven't got yet that you really want to put in one of your movies?
I don't know. Tom Araya from Slayer.
Oh, are you trying to get him?
I haven't actually tried yet, but he's somebody that's been on my radar for a few years. So I know he had done a horror movie a few years ago. It was like a heavy metal zombie movie, and he had a cameo in that. So I was kind of waiting until that passed, and it's been a few years. So I think I'm gonna come for you, Tom. Tom, I'm coming for you.
Tom, he's coming for you. Yeah. Hey, if you don't mind, I'm going to grab a soda real quick.
Yeah, grab drink a Coke. It up.
Because you're drinking. What are you drinking over there?
Oh, I'm drinking a Pacifico.
What is that?
Beer.
I'm just doing some Coke for this, I'm doing some Coke for this interview right here.
Yeah, Coke it up.
All right.
My preferred soda of choice.
Is it?
It is, yeah.
So if you, whenever you go to like a restaurant or whatever and they don't have Coke, what do you normally get?
I don't order anything. I flip the table over and I go, how dare you not have Coke on the menu? What is this garbage establishment?
I know, right? Like, fuck Pepsi, you know, like, God, you know. I'm usually, I guess I usually go for Mountain Dew if I,
I do the Dew.
Or Dr. Pepper's almost like a Cherry Coke, so.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which is weird because it's its own company. It's not actually Pepsi bought or whatever, so.
Right.
Anyway, random thoughts, random shit. That's what you get on one of my shows. I'm like ADHD and shit, so.
Mm.
But, So what's it like being, being in California as opposed to when you were out in like New York and everything doing?
Yeah. Well, I don't have to deal with snow, so that's great.
That's true.
You know, you don't have a lot of melancholy rainy day moments. So
you have a lot of. We had a lot of rain this year, from what I've understood. Like, because
we did a lot of rain. It was raining like crazy this year.
Yeah.
So I've been in LA for about 3 years, and when I first moved here, it was the first year without a drought, and then the second year, it was like, oh, the rain's back, all the crops are starting to come back, and this year was like a fucking flood. It was crazy. So
it was nuts. Maybe it's just going to keep going that way. I don't know.
Yeah, I like to say I like to keep California wet, so.
Well, I mean, it might have been really good at the time because of the virus, you know, because
yeah.
I think with all that rain, it was washing away some of the, you know, some of the, I don't know, like, whatever, how that really works, but I'm sure that you know, the rain does probably disinfect the virus a little bit or something. Probably.
Sure. Yeah.
So there you go. But let's talk about, so you ended up moving out here, and you had already done, what, like 5 movies by then? I want to say, or 4?
No, I think I'd done more than that.
You had done a Hack Job. You had done I Spill Your Guts. Yeah. You did. I'm trying to remember. Cool as Hell. Catch of the Day. Bite School. Okay, that's five.
Right. And then Killer Waves.
Killer Waves. But didn't you do that out in California?
I did half and half. So I came out. I was living in New York, and I filmed 2 weeks in California. And then I came back, and I finished the rest of the film in New York.
Oh, wow. So some of it's filmed in California, some in New York.
Yeah, and then I did the same thing for The Lich. I filmed half of it in New York, and then the rest when I had first moved to L.A.
Because you were filming both of those back-to-back, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which is neat. A lot of people talk about that, how cool it is that you're able to go and shoot two movies back to back and put them out like pretty much simultaneously.
Yeah. It's, you know, I got bored just doing one movie. And so I went crazy and was like, oh, I could do two. And then recently I started doing three movies at the same time. And that's.
Well, your films are sort of similar, right? You know, like they're, you know, like there's, it's a James Balsamo film, you know, like you can't, somebody watches your movie and they see it. They pretty much know that that's you, you know, that that's your movie and everything. So when you do something like filming two movies back to back, it's almost like you're playing you and you're doing, you know, this, it's a different movie though. I mean, it's different storyline, different sort of, but you know, like Rod Davis is a little similar to, I forgot what your character's name was in Bite School.
Tony Canone.
They're same similar thing, you know. You've got a little bit of our sarcastic wit to you. You do a million puns and you deal with whatever, you know. I heard you did Bite School too as well. So
yeah, we're in pre-production for that now. So
So you haven't even shot it yet?
No, just the poster's done. Jeff Sorno did the poster, and Joe Castro did Spat 2.0. He did the new Spat puppet. So,
when I interviewed Seb the other day, it was me and Anna Zayden, you know, together, and she was in was it Cool as Hell? Cool as Hell. Unfortunately, she got deleted. She said she's in a deleted scene. Which was that? Was there deleted scenes in that DVD?
In Cool as Hell, yeah, there's some deleted scenes.
Yeah, I gotta check that out because I want to see, you know, her in it. Because I don't think I got a chance to do that yet. But
yeah, she's in a deleted topless scene.
Why? Like, was it really not able to be put in there?
You know, when I was running over time, I had so many cameos in that film that just took the precedent over Anna's beautiful breasts.
Right. And that's like the first time she did it too. So at first and so far only time. So, and a James, you know, like she said, you just asked her and she said, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Like a lot of times people, you probably ask almost anybody you can, right. At some point or whatever, like, yeah, you do it. And if they say no, you're like, okay, moving on. The next girl, you know?
It was weird when I had first started making movies. It was like, what are you, a weirdo? No, I'm not gonna get naked for you. But now that I've done over 18 feature films, people are like, oh yeah, you're a filmmaker, sure. I want to be in a movie.
Well, and there's a filmmaker that does all the nudity, so like they know already like what you're about, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, all they gotta do is watch one of your movies, and they'll know. Oh, okay. Pretty much cameos and tits, you know, and James acting silly, you know. Yeah. That's pretty much. That's, you know.
So, nailed it.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about your writing. So we've talked. Right before the show, we talked, and I told you pretty much that I was gonna ask about this, but so you write. You have a script, you know. Yeah. Then some of it's improv, right? Especially, how much of it's actually written?
So what I knew is I write the whole script, but the problem with a lot of modern actors is that they only read their own scene. So, you know, you write a whole script, and then a lot of actors in indie films, they're actors. They're self-centered people. They just want to know their lines. And that's it. And they don't read the whole script. So I got tired of you know, as a writer, I find that kind of insulting. You take the time to write a project, they should enjoy the whole film. Then they know where their character stands, what their process is, how did they get to that moment. So I stopped giving out the script. So I always have the script, and then I just kind of tell people what the scene is and the gist of their lines. Because the other thing that I hate is when you give an actor a script and they memorize it halfway.
Halfway?
Halfway. So they know it well enough, but they don't know it inside out and backwards. And so when you start running lines, they say things kind of stagnant. Like, oh no, it's a bat monster. And they're like, that's my line. I know that's my line. I know I say that. But then they only memorized it last night. You know what I mean?
Right.
They got the role a week ago, and there was no rehearsal. So they just know it to a point. So for me, I like to tell actors what to say and then make it their own. I go, this is the scene. This is what's happening. This is what your character's doing. Say this.
Great. That's actually a really cool way to do it. But see, that works for you for sure, right? Like, that's not going to work. It's definitely not going to work for, like, Hollywood, you know. Nobody would dare try that like that. Like, you know, like Steven Spielberg's not like, here's what you're going to say now, you know. Like,
well, I heard that's how they do it on Curb Your Enthusiasm, actually.
Really?
Yeah, they do a very similar style. I always thought that was cool. Because I was making movies for a few years before I had heard a behind the scenes of that show, and they said they do it the same exact way. And I was like, oh, not crazy. That's amazing. Yeah. Larry David does it the same way, and he had Seinfeld. So I guess he's doing something right.
Why don't you send your movies to HBO and see if they'll hire you for Curb Your Enthusiasm's newest season?
Yeah.
You know, your humor might fit in very well with Larry David. I don't know.
Right. Thanks.
I agree. Because, like, that is kind of an interesting thing. Because when you look at, like, Larry David, right, and what he's doing, you look at you, and basically you're taking something, you know, you're giving people lines, right? And you're telling them what to say right there. It feels more spontaneous. It feels more real, maybe,
right?
You know? And so I can see why that's works for both, you know, you and for them, you know,
right,
as well. So good for you, dude. Keep it up.
Thanks.
I remember when I was up there, I didn't have a script, I guess. Well, I mean, if there was a script, probably, but you're just telling me what to say and pretty much. And you're the only person so far that's gotten me to go down to my boxers. So, in a movie.
Yeah.
And my favorite line the whole thing was, you know, you're like, hey, are you okay with doing something in your boxers? You're being in your boxers. And I was like, yeah, but I'm not going any further. And then you looked at me and goes, it's okay. Nobody wants to see that. That was your line. I was like, touche, sir. All right. And then I messed up the lines or whatever. I guess I was nervous doing it. I don't know
you why. Were great.
Ah, whatever. You're like, I thought you said you were an actor. You don't remember that at all, do you?
Yeah, I do. We were in Virginia, right?
Virginia, yeah. I think that was the third time we met, because we had met at, I think, two different conventions.
Yeah, Horror Realm.
Horror Realm was one. I thought I met you beforehand at... No, I think I met you beforehand at... Were you at the Gettysburg one? Not Horror Realm, but it's... there was a Gettysburg one.
No, Blood on the Beach?
Not Blood on the Beach. But I think you...
Dead Zombie one in Pittsburgh?
Wasn't that Pittsburgh? No, because that was That was Horror Realm, right, or something, but
yeah. Uh-huh.
There was horror it became Scares I Care. Like the people took it and made it Scares I Care afterwards. Because we did Bite School at Scares I Care, like the first Scares I Care. But there was another it was horror something. But anyway, I think I met you there. It had like Gary Busey was there, and I thought I met you there because have you met Gary Busey? Have you seen him at any conventions?
Yeah.
Because there, my friend Christina Rouse, I think, introduced us.
Oh, that's right. It was the Mad Monster part. Monster Mania.
Maybe it was Monster
Mania. Yeah, it was Monster Mania and Cherry Hill.
Oh, shit. I know I was at a Monster Mania. I've only been to one. Yeah, but it wasn't at Cherry Hills in Maryland. So maybe whatever. I met you. I was pretty sure I met you before Horror Realm, but I know I met you at Horror Realm. Then I later on saw you again at Scares I Care, and then I saw you again at another Williamsburg one, like Raven, whatever.
RavenCon, yeah.
RavenCon, and hung out with you then, but. Yeah, and then we did this one. This is all interesting stuff that everybody needs to hear, you know, yeah. Right?
Just the facts of our history.
But yeah, no, it was fun. It was a blast shooting Bite School. Because I remember I asked you, and I told you that I was gonna ask Ashley, you know, if she would be interested. To do nudity for your film.
Yeah, Ophelia Rain.
Yeah, Ophelia Rain, and she was very, very excited about that. You know,
yeah,
because she loves obviously doing her porn work, but she also loves being in, you know, independent horror films. You know,
yeah, so. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's wonderful. So it was, you know, really cool working with her and Roberto and Stro. Remember that? Yeah. Having Ashley attack, was it Roberto? You know, mm-hmm. She was hilarious. I gotta watch that movie. I only have four of your movies, man. I gotta get on the ball and get more. You know.
Yeah.
When shit opens up, man, I'm gonna come by and stop by your house and pick up some shit.
Sounds good.
Yeah. You're like, I'm down. Like, down for what, 10 bucks, you know, or whatever. What do you sell them for? 10, 20 bucks?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, good. You should do that. You know, I hope, like, the sad thing is, like, conventions are right now at kind of like a Scares I Care just canceled. So.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. And they're supposed to be in July, but, you know.
Right.
And Virginia hasn't, I don't think Virginia has hit it nearly as bad as like California has. So, but it's still just a safety thing, right?
Oh yeah. I don't think the convention scene's going to be right for a while. I've actually been invited to be like a digital guest at online conventions. I think that's going to start coming up soon.
I think that's the way that people should go. Instead of canceling, they should try to do like online conventions and stuff.
Yeah, that seems like what's going to happen permanently.
At least, you know, for the rest of the year until, because a lot of people think like this stuff's going to last till the end of the year, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Which is terrible, you know, that it's like a year long thing. Like,
yeah.
Not good, but
yep.
It is. You can't help it. Now yeah. Let's get back to your writing. Do you write on a specific like writing software?
I write on Celltext.
Okay. Do you have like the original Celltext, or did you have to, you know, start paying for it?
No, I have the original. I've been writing on Celltext forever. So
I used to really, really love it, and I had it for so long, and I think I might still have it, but I upgraded to Final Draft.
Yeah, Final Draft, thanks.
And Final Draft is good. It's just, I mean, you know, it helps. Celtics is just as good if you can get it, you know? Nowadays, nobody can get it. Like, if you were to lose it right now, you would have to pay for it. You know,
right.
Sadly. Then there was like Writer's Duet that I was using for a little bit to try it out and everything. I don't know if you heard of that.
Mm-mm.
That was actually a free, for a while, that was a free software that you could use. That was actually really good because you could send drafts to people, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then, let's see what else. I don't know. Like, there's what? There's Adobe, you know, all these magic screenwriter or whatever. You know, I like Final Draft and I like Celtics, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Celtics is great. So,
yeah, I've been writing on it since college. So, long time.
So it's worked out, you know.
Yeah. Gets the job done. I say if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right. And especially for your kind of stuff anyway, because, you know, it seems like most of the time you're reading it, you know.
Yeah, you exactly. Need it.
You know, you could do it on Word if you felt comfortable with that, you know.
Right.
Whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Do you suggest things for people? Do you, like, if somebody asks you what do you suggest as for writing, do you always say Celtics?
Yeah, I say Celtics. That's what I like, you know, just because it gives you an easy breakdown.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it works. It gives you exactly what the format is and all that stuff. So formats it for you. So, I mean, awesome. That's great. Now, after you're done that and everything, do you like, when you write, do you do like notes, notepads or anything? Like, do you have like index cards or anything, or do you just kind of,
you know what, I do everything on my phone now. So I write all my notes, I get my wacky ideas, I put them in my notes on my iPhone, and then, you know, I just text them to myself and I copy and paste that into the program. So
copy and paste into what program?
In Celtext. So I'll write a note in my notes on my iPhone, and then I'll copy and paste that, and I'll text it to myself or email it to myself, and then I'll copy and paste that into Celtext. I'll rework the idea into the script.
Very cool. That's a neat little way to do it.
Yeah.
So do you, wow, that's cool. I never thought about that. I guess I do sort of that in a way. So I'll write notes down on notepad, and then I'll kind of try to figure out what I want to do necessarily. Maybe like character names or, you know, storyline ideas or whatever, and then just kind of start taking it from my phone. I'll like look at my phone and I'll be like, okay,
right,
you know, right, and then I'll go down to the computer and start typing whatever. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the way to do it. I guess it's easy for you to kind of have like a way to write, you know, that feels natural to you, as opposed to trying to figure out what works for other people and then trying to make it work for yourself. If you know what I mean.
I do. So, you know, I like to come up with the gist of the story, and then I like to break down the scenes and then actually write out the scenes. So, you know, I'll write, you know, a bat monster is going to attack a town, and this sarcastic, handsome leading man played by me, James Balsamo, has to beat the bat monster. And then after I have that outline, I'll start breaking down the scenes. Okay, James sharpens stakes, you know, and then he makes some steaks to eat, and then you know,
yeah,
stuff
bit.
Like that.
I get it.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Geez. So you've done what? Demon. You've done a demon movie. Cool as hell. You've done a psycho serial killer PTSD movie. Nice. Spill your guts.
Right.
You've made a vampire movie. You made, I guess, a killer. What was the Killer Waves guy? It was like a killer.
Deep Sea Diver.
Yeah, like Dead Deep Sea Diver, Skeleton Guy movie. like, you haven't done a zombie movie yet, technically, right?
Yeah,
like
cool as hell has zombies in it.
But like, yeah, but that's mixed in with the demon and some other, I guess, I mean, like, but I guess, like, okay, that counts. All right, so you haven't done a werewolf movie yet, have you?
It's in the works. Hollywood Werewolf.
That's right. Okay, so you've already started doing that, right? Or are you finished?
Yeah. So we were filming, and then the whole virus thing happened, and so that's all on hold, that production.
But then you'll be back, you know.
Yeah, right? I'll be back. So it's got about 25% in the can. G. Larry Butler plays my manager in the film. He's really funny, and he plays saxophone while the werewolf is killing people. So
that's funny.
Yeah,
we were actually talking about it because I have him on my show, Indie Film Cafe, a lot, you know, and stuff. And we were actually chatting about that, you know, working with you and everything. Uh-huh. And he's got a 14-year-old daughter, and I was like, we watched a movie, John Johnson's Shadow Hunters, which was not appropriate for a 14-year-old daughter. Did not realize that, you know, right at the time. I wasn't thinking, like, I hadn't rewatched it in forever, but didn't realize how much sex and nudity and other stuff it had in it. I was like thinking, is this a James Balsamo movie, you know? But no, it was a John Johnson one, and I felt really awkward with it. And then I was like thinking, well, just don't show Bonnie your your movies with James, you know. Right. Like, you can watch that separately, but
yeah, you know, she's sweet. I've met her a few times.
Yeah,
she came to the comic book store when I had it.
Oh, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
I wished that I could have come to the comic book store. I think when I got here, because I sent you a message when I moved, and me and my buddy Paul wanted to meet up with you, and I was like, oh, we can meet up at your comic book store, and you're like, oh, that's, I don't no longer have that. So I kind of sucked that happened, you know.
Yeah.
But then again, you're right. I mean, it is that you gave it away at the great time.
Right. Yeah.
It's like you knew that this whole thing was going to happen.
Right.
The person who bought it is probably like, damn you, James.
Right. I actually sold it to the guy that draws Roger on American Dad.
Oh, man. I thought I was going to get excited for a second. I thought you meant Roger on Doug.
Oh.
You know, Roger Klotz.
Yeah.
But no, I never really watched American Dad. I don't know. I'm not a cartoon guy. You know, old school cartoon guy. I'm not a new school cartoon guy. American Dad's pretty funny at times. I've seen some, but
it's great. Yeah, I like it.
It does Seth MacFarlane's comedy kind of just like inspire your goofiness a little bit.
Yeah. I grew up on Family Guy and The Simpsons, and I still watch cartoons. I'm a big animation guy, so.
What's your favorite cartoon?
Probably American Dad.
Really?
Yeah, I like it. It's witty, it's smart, you know what I mean? It's got some good political humor in it, and it's wacky. I like wacky shit.
Are you a political guy at all? Like, none of your films kind of come off that way.
Well, you know what? I always like to slide it in there. So, you know, I've got that new movie coming out, It Wants Blood. And Eric Roberts plays a politician who gets a beast from Africa, and it gives him the power to win a re-election. So,
I got to work with Eric on Collision Earth recently, in January, and he was just working with him was like it just like radiated like awesomeness. You know,
yeah, he's great. We shot 4 days with him, so he's
4 days. Wow. Yeah. We had only 1 day with him, so having 4 days, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's a cool cat.
Yeah, he seemed like it. I mean, like I met him, I hung out with him. He was taking selfies with everybody, and you know, hanging out and chatting and you know, the problem is like I didn't want to bother him. So there was so much I wanted to talk to him about. And yeah. I was like, oh, I'll just save it for if I ever get the chance to interview him, you know, which I'm sure could happen. I just haven't really looked
into it. Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm sure right now would be the perfect time to ask all these
totally
people, like, what else, you know, what else are they doing?
Exactly. Trapped at home, nowhere to go.
Yeah. That's how I got Zach Ward.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and the lucky thing is, like, I'm able to get these people who, you know, like Jeff Howard, I just interviewed. He wrote for Oculus and a ton of other, Haunting of Hill House. I don't know if you ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen Gerald's Game yet?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Watch that on Netflix. It's really good. You know, I think you'd like it. But, you know, that's awesome. Like, I'm able to interview these people just because right now we're in a really bad time for anything else, you know, podcasts. And I think that's pretty much it. Podcasts and people getting a chance to write is about the only good things coming from this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what is a normal day for James Balsamo like?
Wake up. Drink a bottle of Jameson.
Nice.
Smoke 16 bongs. Sign 9,000 autographs to mail out. And then write.
Nice. So that's your day?
Yeah, after, you know, 17 blowjobs from 27 different women.
Wait, so does that mean three of them don't give you blowjobs?
Exactly. It's good math.
See, there's math. Oh, man, I actually did. I learned something from school. I was just I was a little confused.
What? I like it when there's an audience, John. I like it when there's an audience.
That's good. I like to be confused sometimes because I'm like, you know, what is going on here? You know, what is James Balsamo talking about right now?
Yeah.
I have no idea. You know, and I'm just doing coke. So, you know.
Right. I mean, that's the kind of quarantine it is. It's a coke quarantine.
It is. I try to drink soda or drink whatever every time I do an interview. And it's just a thing because a lot of times I'll be thinking about something, I'll get thirsty, you know.
Right.
So already having it there is always a good, you know, good thing. Like, I forgot it because I was like me and my roommate been running around like crazy today. So, we just got back at like 7 or so, like right about the time we were supposed to do the original, you know, thing. And so it's been a crazy, you know, day and everything.
Right. So,
you know, but awesome, you know, like, because like life could be a lot worse right now, you know, everything could be closed completely, you know. Like, you know, I'm glad that like grocery stores and pharmacies and everything, they're keeping open because, you know.
Could you imagine if you had to hunt squirrels to eat?
That would be crazy. I don't think I could do it. I don't want to eat squirrel at all. No. You know, they probably taste nasty.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I bet it's nuts, yeah. Man, I can't get away from your puns at all.
No. I know, that's a squirrely one.
You are a squirrely one. yeah. So, let's talk. What's next for you? So, what are you doing after this whole thing?
So, It Wants Blood is in post production now. Hopefully, it'll be out soon. We're kind of holding it back because of the whole quarantine thing. We want to do a big premiere and tour the movie around and stuff. So, Catch the Day 2 will be out in stores probably when this podcast is out, so go get your copy of Catch of the Day 2.
Who's been distributing it? Has it been you distributing it yourself or somebody else?
It's this company called Allied Vaughn. They're a Fox affiliate, so they put out Fox movies and Sony Pictures and a bunch of other
Balsamo movies.
That's right. Acid Bath Productions is right on that list.
Well, I wanted to look up stuff on, was it on Prime, on Amazon Prime, and how come your films aren't really on there?
Did you ever hear the term, why buy the cow when you could get the sex for free?
I have heard that.
Yeah, so Amazon Prime, it's, you know, free, and all of my films are for money sales, so...
You don't want people to watch them and then not buy the movie, right?
Sure, exactly.
Well, though, I think if they were on there, now this is just my opinion, so it, you know, doesn't freaking matter what it is. But if it is on there for free and somebody sees it and somebody likes it, they may want to go and buy it.
Oh, sure, they may. That's the difference.
That's the difference. You don't think that once they see the movie, they're going to be like, ah, never mind. I don't need to buy this movie now.
Yeah, exactly.
it's that fear. I don't know. I think the people that would buy, well, I guess a lot of people, when you sell these movies at like conventions, a lot of people don't know, you know, the movies at all, right? Like some people have never heard of James Osamas. As bad as that may, you know, as that may be, you know, because everybody should know who you are by now, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Seb's actually viewed that. He says, I think his prediction was by 2030, everybody will have worked on a James Balsamo movie. So you got to get on that. Like everybody in the world would have worked on it.
Everybody in the world, yeah.
Yeah. So you got to work on that.
Yeah.
You got 10 years. You know,
all right, I can do it.
You think you can do it? All right, CSEP. Yeah. All right, his he says challenge accepted. But no, we're kind of joking because, like, there is a lot of people that have worked on your films that have, because you do a lot of cameos with a lot of people, period.
Yeah,
so somebody might only be there and for like 1 minute or something, you know, right, and everything. And I heard some people talking online today about, you know, putting like cameos in there, you know, or if you put a cameo in there and they're only in it for like 5 minutes of the movie, but then you slap them on the top of the movie. Okay. What is your theory on that? Do you think that people shouldn't do that? Or do you think like doing it just helps sales pretty much?
Yeah, well, that's what it is. It's an old sales tactic. You know, it's an exploitation tactic. So this person's in the movie. You know, I think it's funny because whether they're in it for a minute or they're in it for, you know, the whole span of the movie, they're still in the film. So if their name is on it and it's going to help more people see the product, then I don't think it's wrong at all. You know what I mean? I've had some people say like, oh, this person's not in it. They're only in it for a minute. It's like, you just contradicted yourself. You said they're not in it, but they're in it for a minute. So yeah, they're in it. They're in the movie. You know what I mean? So that's kind of why I had Eric Roberts do 4 days. Like Eric Roberts stars in It Wants Blood. He's in the whole movie to kind of combat that sort of like day quick cameo shoot.
Do people get mad about that to you? Like, do people write like reviews
sometimes. I mean, I've made a lot of movies. So in the past, some people have said, hey, I'm not, you know, really in that. I'm in it for a minute. You know what I mean? Or people have said, hey, this person, they're in the box. And, you know, but then people that understand exploitation and horror, they get why that's done. You know, it's to, like I said, draw in a wider audience. So, you know, if they're in it for a minute or they're in it for 90 minutes, I think they're in it either way. So you could use their name.
Yeah, totally. I know. I agree. I was kind of one of those people that you see a lot of the people who, and a lot of times, and I, my response to that was a lot of times it's in people's contracts. You know,
sure.
Like I remember I was going to have, I can't see who it was, a big time actor in one of my projects, and his agent actually made sure to have me say, he was in it, you know, that he was the one of the, either the star or an and, you know, credit for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, you know, okay, you know, like I was willing to do that. Then the project fell through, unfortunately, and didn't get made. But you know, if that's what they want, you know, those celebrities want or whatever, I mean, that's what they want, you know, and if they're in it for 10 minutes or they're in it for, you know, 3 minutes, it doesn't matter if that's what's in the contract, if that's how you get the person, you know. So you're always going to have people who are going to hate on your film no matter what you do, you know.
Oh, totally. All right, I've got time for one more question. I got to get out of here by 9.
Well, good, good, good. All right, last question. I guess, what would James Balsamo do if he had $1 million?
What would James Balsamo do if he had $1 million? I'd do what I'm already doing, make bad movies.
All right, well, thank you, James. This has been awesome. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy, busy schedule to chat with the Writers Process podcast. And
thank you, my friend. Always a pleasure.
What was that?
Thank you, my friend. Always a pleasure, John.
Definitely. So we'll definitely have you back for one of the other things later down the road. Everybody check out all your films. Like, I mean, we already mentioned every single one of them, right? Like
all of them.
I don't think there was any we left out, right?
Nope, I don't think so.
Nope. All right. Well, there you go. Go check out all those films we mentioned and let us know what you guys think. And thank you, James, for being on the show.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay. Have a good one.
You too, buddy.
All right. Bye.
See ya.